Bible up here with me. I'm a pastor. I know this is not good news. Thank you. All right. All right. Matthew chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it says this. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Y'all know that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Right? That song about partridges and pear trees and lords a-leaping and pipers piping. That's a weird song. Right? Like, if any of you ever think about getting me a gift for Christmas, I promise you that geese a-laying are not going to be on my short list. But there's something else that I learned this just recently. I always thought that the 12th day of Christmas was Christmas morning. So that the 12 days of Christmas ended on Christmas morning. It turns out Christmas morning is the first day of Christmas. So that the next 11 days are the Christmas season. Those are the 12 days of Christmas. I had no idea. That means that this morning is the eighth day of Christmas. So when you get home, I hope you all really enjoy your maids a-milking. It also means that this morning's sermon is a Christmas sermon, which I've never done a Christmas sermon on the 1st of January before. So this morning's passage is a familiar one for many of us. It's a story that we like to include in our manger scenes. I don't know about you, but the nativity set that we have at home has three guys bearing gifts at the manger. But the text that we read this morning gives us pretty strong indication that these three men probably weren't, or that these people probably weren't at the manger scene. There are no shepherds in the story. They don't go and visit a stable or a manger. They go to a home in Bethlehem. And Jesus isn't referred to as a baby, as an infant. Jesus is referred to as a child in the story. So it seems that these exotic people who arrived at Mary and Joseph's home arrived perhaps several months, maybe even several years after Jesus is born. But you can just imagine Mary's surprise and Joseph's surprise after when these strangely dressed visitors show up to their house. There's a knock on the door, and three strange men dressed in exotic clothes with strong accents. They look at Mary and they say, "We want to see your baby." So Mary, of course, "Yeah, sure, no problem." I'm sure she ushered them awkwardly into her home, and perhaps with more than just a little bit of suspicion. She doesn't know what their intentions are, and so imagine her surprise as the first of the Magi reach into his bag and pull out a gift that could change the future of her family, gold. And she's still in shock when the next Magus, that is the singular form of Magi, I learned that also this week, when the next Magus brings out another gift, a costly perfume called frankincense. And I'm sure that Mary could barely speak as she considers the gold and frankincense when the third Magus, I love that word, reaches into a bag and says, "But wait, there's myrrh." I knew I shouldn't have used Scott's joke. The Magi, they come bearing gifts. Well, that seems pretty familiar to me, because in our culture, the giving of presents, the giving of gifts, the gifts kind of dominates Christmas. I can't even imagine what Christmas would be like without the giving of gifts. It's become such a mainstay that sometimes I feel a little bit, just a tiny little bit, like I have to rebel against the practice in order to really worship at Christmas. But this story reminds us, it reminds me, that the ritual of giving gifts is an ancient one. It's a ritual that is central to what it means for us to celebrate this holiday, and it's one that is deeply rooted in our tradition. Because these strange figures from an eastern land, they brought gifts to give to Jesus. Now, I will admit, at first glance, these gifts don't seem all that different than a partridge in a pear tree. My kids are old enough now that they would at least realize that they needed to pretend like they weren't disappointed with these gifts when they were given. But I can imagine what would be going through my children's heads is, "Frankincense? Really? What am I supposed to do with frankincense? I hope you gave me a gift receipt." My kids would probably be questioning how these supposed wise men received their titles. The three wise men left. The three wiser women arrived. This really does make me wonder, why these gifts? Why gold and frankincense and myrrh? I mean, were the Magi really unaware about primary colored educational plastic toys? When Noah and Micah were 4 and 2, my brother and daughter-in-law, or sister-in-law, my brother and sister-in-law sent my sons a toy accordion for Christmas. No batteries that I could remove in order to silence the toy. And out of this tiny little box would come the most horrifying noise. Horrifying noise. It's been 8 years since that toy was accidentally dropped from a second-story window in our home. But before its untimely and unfortunate demise, my kids loved it. That's a gift that you get for a child. Something to drive their parents crazy. Not gold. Not frankincense. Certainly not myrrh. A lot of people have tried to point out why these gifts mattered, why they were significant. And in the words that we just sang, you saw some of that as people have noted the association that these gifts bear to Jesus, his ministry, where gold represents his kingship. And frankincense was used in anointing oil, which represents Jesus as the prophetic voice of God. And myrrh was used to bury the dead, which offers a preview of his pending death on a cross. Maybe that's true, but I noticed something this week as I studied this passage. I noticed that I spent most of my time for most of my life focusing on these gifts. I can always remember the three gifts. But you know what I noticed for the first time this week? I noticed that three times in this passage, reference is made to paying homage. In Greek, it's one word. And it's the word that is usually translated as worship. It's a word that literally means to bend the knee. Which in some ways implies to me an acknowledgement of the superiority of the one to whom homage is being paid. In the Greek world, this word is not used to describe the action of one human being toward another. Homage is exclusively paid to the gods. See, the Magi aren't just offering birthday gifts to a child. No matter how strange and extravagant those gifts might be, they are paying homage. Now, these Magi seem like men of influence. They seem like men of some authority. At the very least, they can afford expensive gifts. So these gift bearers are not required by any social standard or any standard for that matter to bend their knees to this child. And yet, here they are. It's a strange sight. Unfortunately, I am oftentimes so caught up in the gifts that I fail to notice the word that gives this story its purpose. Because the purpose is not gold or frankincense or myrrh. The purpose is the bending of a knee. It's not always easy for me to find the message and power of the incarnate Christ in the consumeristic frenzy that Christmas has become. Gift giving, even selfless, joyful gift giving, often obscures that message for me. But the Magi, they just might be able to redeem it. Because the Magi didn't bring gifts to Jesus because they were compelled to. They didn't bring gifts to Jesus because it was that time of year and they believed it was better to give than receive. And they didn't bring gifts because they wanted to see the smile on the child's face when he opened them. They brought gifts to the child because they wanted to pay him homage. They wanted to bend their knees. Many of us here this morning can nod our heads and acknowledge that paying homage to the Christ child is the purpose of Christmas. Many of us don't miss a beat when we think about the Magi paying homage to a child. We don't think it strange in the least that they would do what they do. But it is strange. It's out of this world strange. Stop and consider, when was the last time that we saw self-sufficient people bend their knee to anyone? When was the last time that we saw people of influence and privilege take the time to pay homage to God, especially a God that is revealed in the powerlessness of a child? Every Christmas, our family does something before we open the gifts that are littering our living room under the tree. It is easily my favorite Christmas tradition. Every year we get up early, perhaps a little too early, on Christmas morning, and we go and we serve breakfast at a shelter for families. We flip pancakes and we make eggs and we play with children as those children proudly show off their new Christmas gifts, or maybe more appropriately, their new Christmas gift. And when we get home, we remind each other of the passage in Matthew 25 when Jesus separates the people into two groups. And he looks at the people on his right and he says, "Welcome into my kingdom. For I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you gave me clothes." And the people look at Jesus and they say, "Well, when did we see you thirsty or hungry or naked?" And Jesus says, "Whatever you have done unto one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done unto me." And every Christmas morning, before we ever open the gifts we get for one another, we take a moment to bend our knee and to pay homage to the one whose birth we are there to celebrate. It's my favorite part of Christmas. It makes me wonder, what might it mean in our own lives and in our own world if we could put aside our own greatness, put aside our own self-sufficiency, put aside our self-righteousness long enough to pay homage, long enough to bend our knees and bow our heads to the greatness of this child, long enough to bend our knees and bow our heads to the weakness of this child. How might our lives change? How might our world change? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.